Now, adjust the volume control so that the sound can be heard in all parts of the room.
This is the Protect Your Assets podcast. Mr.
Sandman, you get the idea? Bring me
a dream. It's on the internet.
Make him the cutest that I've ever seen.
Go on.
Give him two lips like roses and clover.
It's a great program.
And tell him that his lonesome nights are over, Sandman.
What is it?
It's exactly what I need.
It's a slam dunk.
It's great.
It's like no cheese I've ever tasted.
Please turn on your magic beam.
Here he comes.
Mr. Sandman, bring me a
key. Here's David Hollander.
Do you consider yourself a good saver? Do you live below your means? Does the present stock market make you a little nervous? Well, if having safety as part of your retirement portfolio is important to you, then you'll certainly want to stay with us today, because we're going to share with you how retirement savers can earn a little more right now safely. Good morning. I'm David Hollander, and this is Protect Your Assets. For those of you just joining us for the first time, welcome. You can hear the jingle. People around here, they call me the Sandman. And that's because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal or financial questions each week. That's because I've been running a financial firm for almost 30 years, and I'm a practicing attorney. We are live right now, so if you have a question, maybe something came up this past week, you need some help, you can always tweet me a question anytime something comes up at PYA Radio. Again, that's at PYA Radio. Should you consider adding an annuity to your retirement? Well, I think there's always room to include safety as part of your retirement portfolio. And if you agree, then I think it's something you need to do right now. Don't wait until something bad happens. You know, it's like cooking popcorn. You're too late after you smell the burning smell. You can't wait until this market turns against you to include safety in your portfolio right now. That's why today we're going to go over, with CD and savings rates so low right now, how can you earn money safely? But buyer beware, there's a lot of things to know when you get into this area. And today we're going to be talking about five things you need to know about annuities right now. Now, let's get started. A little bit of volatility this week. Dow was up 1.36%, S&P up 1.57%, and the NASDAQ, well, it was pretty volatile, but it finished down 0.58% for the week. It seems like tech's just getting slammed, and so I've got a little discussion about that this morning. But some interesting statistics I just saw this week about homes and people selling their homes. Get this. According to CB, one in five owners right now of real estate are going to sell their home this year. Wow, think about that. About 20% of the market. Why we're not seeing the inventory right now or the supply is because people are still worried about leaving their homes and going somewhere else. And that's because they're still worried about getting ill. So they like the safety of their home. And so as the vaccines continue to unleash themselves across the country, I would expect that inventory and the supply to pick up, which could mean a lot of people are going to be moving around. So what happened this week economically that is important? Well, we had the initial jobless claims. Remember, I look at every Thursday to see how the jobless claims are going. And this week we had a pretty big surprise. It was 684,000. Again, not a, you know, it's nothing like over a year ago, but 684 is better than 730 or 800. And so that was a pretty good number. In fact, the initial claims number fell by 97,000. And this figure was the lowest reading we've seen since this pandemic began over a year ago. And get this, continuing claims hit a new milestone, falling below 4 million for the first time since a year ago, March 2020. So that's good. And the renewed leg lower in jobless claims suggests that the combination of the vaccine rollout and latest stimulus package is resulting in new jobs. But this week I did see something that was a little bit concerning. And so this morning, that's why I thought it would be important for us to talk about safety. And so what's concerning? Well, you know, I've been talking for weeks and months almost about the four pillars that are supporting this recovery, supporting this market. And pillar number one is the historic federal stimulus. And I think we have a little bit of a crack occurring there. You may say, well, what do you mean? And so this is what's happening right now. And we're going to see more of it this week. The Democratic Party is demonstrating a cohesion and quickly passing their stimulus bill, the $1.9 trillion we've been talking about. But the market is a what have you done for me lately animal. And with stimulus now behind us, markets are focusing on what's next. And so the answer, again, it may be in the form of tax increases. And I'm sure you've heard my commercial. I hate taxes. But Biden's Build Back Better infrastructure program of $3 trillion will be funded by, well, possibly tax increases on corporations, high income earners, investments, and small business. So bottom line, the outlook, one of the pillars I've been talking about for government spending, is turning more mixed, because while there may be more spending, which of course is good for growth, it's going to come with a cost. And that could be tax increases, which typically is bad for growth. And that is a mixed outlook and a departure from what we've seen this past year. So that, in my mind, is a crack. Okay, not a fracture. It's a small crack, and we know what can happen with smaller cracks. So that's something to be aware of. That's pillar number one. Pillar number two, the historic Fed accommodation. Now, I'm going to say that there's a crack happening there as well. And here's what's going on. The Fed is continuing to messaging that they're going to support the market and the recovery. But the messaging is becoming muddled. Because on one hand, you have the chair Fed, Powell, and the leadership of the Fed. They're bound and determined to repeat that we're not going to have or remove accommodation. But that's on the one hand. On the other hand, we're seeing some reason why Powell and the Fed leadership seem resistant to letting the markets know what they're going to do about rising 10-year treasuries, about the Operation Twist, or any kind of maturity extension or quantitative easing to stop. So we're not seeing any sort of language that helps. And the Fed is turning very slowly now, hawkish. And as numerous Fed officials are saying, they're expecting a rate hike that's coming in 2022. So what does this mean? Well, it leads to increased volatility. And to be clear, I'm not saying that any of these pillars are broken. Again, these are just cracks. And so as such, we do want to think that the rally could continue. But with these two new cracks that have developed these past couple weeks, the outlook is changing. It's not as positive as it was several months ago. And what does that mean from a market standpoint? It means that there's going to be more volatility. And that most likely cyclical and value sectors, which have done fairly well this year, should continue to outperform over the medium term. And this gets me into the subject about technology. Before I do that, what areas would I be looking at right now? Well, I'd be taking a look at oil. The oil industry is interesting. We saw this week with the ship that got stuck in the canal there. That was kind of fascinating, wasn't it? I mean, great picture there. But anyway, oil market's super fascinating, and also the commodities, a broad commodity market, food, agriculture, gold, silver, these sort of things. What's going to happen with them? So I don't expect the ride higher if the market continues to go on to be smooth. I'm expecting more volatility, and so I want to say a potential normal pullback would be 5 to 10%, and that would be a perfect opportunity to continue to add to the positions I'm talking about in the near term. And if one of these cracks gets larger and becomes a fissure or a fracture, then you're going to be seeing a 10 to 20% correction. It's really that simple. And if both of them break, you're looking at a 20 to 30% decline. It's just that simple. So that's what's going on. They're doing a magical job of balancing, but we just got to keep our eye on that. So I got a question this week. Is tech over? You know, the underperformance with the FANG stocks, What's going on here? Well, over the past week, again, we've seen some of the dominant trends in the first quarter reverse. And this is as growth has outperformed value over the past several trading days. While tech and defensive sectors have been outperforming cyclicals. So that led to some questions. If the outperformance of cyclical values, which I just talked about, and underperformance of tech is about to end. I don't think it is because of what I just said. And that's because the underlying macroeconomic factors that we're talking about week after week that have caused value and cyclical shares to outperform. And again, it's all the four pillars I've been talking about. That should continue to provide those areas to outperform over the year when you see more volatility. As rates rise, that just typically does not do well for tech. So I'm still advocating that you reduce your exposure if you have it in tech. If you made money in there, good for you. And you should be looking at more balanced portfolios and more of a balanced approach, which includes more cyclical and value exposure. And if you're looking at fixed income, well, today we're going to be talking a lot about that and what are some of the alternatives out there that you should be doing. Now, again, I'm not saying you should abandon all your tech. Don't misread what I'm saying. But in an economic reflation, which is what we're seeing and we should continue to see as the vaccines roll out and the economy gets back to normal, we think being overweight in tech, as many have been for so long, is not the optimal place to be. And as such, I would encourage you to create a more balanced portfolio and look for the medium to longer term for it to outperform this particular year. Next week, you're going to be seeing on Tuesday the Case-Shiller Home Price Index. Get this, home prices, I don't know if you know this, but they've increased year over year 16%. I mean, in the Bay Area alone, we've seen some incredible rise in real estate prices, multiple bidding, short supply. We know what's going on. So Tuesday should be interesting to see what's happening across the country. Thursday, you're going to again get the jobless claims number, and I'm expecting that to continue the trend lower. And the ISM Manufacturing Index will be coming out, and that is one of the inflationary guidelines that the Fed looks at. So it'll be important to see what's going to happen with inflation overall. And then Friday, we get the March unemployment number coming out, because remember, it's a new month. April is here upon us almost, and Friday, markets will be closed. It is Good Friday, so get your trades in before the end of the trading cycle on Thursday if you're going to want to do that. Coming up next, would you like to make sure you have enough income to last the rest of your life? Well, stay tuned as we discuss the five things you need to know if you're going to consider safety as an alternative right now. You are listening to the Protect Your Assets Show with David Hollander. That's me. We'll be right back.
Now you can hear the show Protect Your Assets hands-free anytime on your smart speaker or Android device. Just say, "Hey Google, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast." Learn more at libertygroupllc.com/voice. Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman, and you're listening to Protect Your Assets. Well, if this market has you a little bit nervous, I wouldn't necessarily doubt you, because let's face it, stock values right now are at historical highs. And if you've thought about having safety as part of your retirement portfolio, well, then you know that right now it's hard to get any sort of yield because interest rates are so low. So a lot of folks are starting to turn to fixed annuities as a way to get better yield, because these assets can be insured typically by an insurance company. And right now we have a 7-year fixed annuity that's yielding 3% over each year over those 7 years. So the yields are attractive, and while annuities can be a good tool for retirement planning, they're not for everybody. And that's because they can be complicated, because it's kind of a new language or terminology you're learning. There are so many different types of annuities, And people get lost in the benefits and the protections and some of the guarantees that they could provide. So why would someone choose or be advised to include an annuity in part of their retirement plan? Well, that's pretty easy, actually, because if you think about it, there's really only one type of financial product that's available today on the market that can guarantee you an income that you cannot outlive over your lifetime. Again, it's backed by the claims paying ability of that insurance company. But even if you spend all the principal that you had saved, it will continue to pay over your lifetime if you've picked the right type of an annuity. Another feature that some married couples like is that you could tie the life of your spouse to the payout as well. So if something were to happen to you, then it would continue to pay to your spouse. And this is known as a joint and survivor option. Now, I'm going to give you some different terms right now, and you may want to write some of these down, and you can go back and look them up. We do have a very handy guide I'm going to be offering here in a bit that will cross-check some of these things if you want to look at this. But let's get into kind of the simple part of this. And that's, if you get an annuity that pays income over life, which one do you choose? Some have a lifetime payout, which could provide payments that could be fixed for your life. Or some of these have COLAs now, where you could get an increasing payment that would grow over your lifetime, which of course would help keep pace with inflation and help you pay your bills. Which one should you choose? Well, that really depends on your age, your health, your family's longevity, your tax bracket. And I generally say, again, this is general, if you're likely to live 7+ years, then I would really consider getting the increasing option where you get that cost of living adjustment, because you want that income to keep pace with inflation. And as we know, inflation is heating up a little bit. So what's important about the company? Well, it's the claims paying ability of the insurance company, because they're going to issue this policy to you that's going to be paying you the fixed payments from them. And the dollar amounts are set in the contract, and they will not vary even if the market is volatile or if we have a downward cycle for a period of time. So that's good, because now you know that your monthly income will not go down. And this provides some kind of security when markets are fluctuating and you need a certain amount of income to be produced out of your plan. So what types of annuities are out there? How do you decide, and where do you go, and what do you know? So here we go. Let's get into the four types of annuities that provide benefits like what I'm talking about. The first is something that's called a variable annuity. The second is a fixed annuity. The third is a fixed indexed annuity. And the last type is something called a single premium immediate annuity, or a SPIA. So we call it in my business, a SPIA. And those are the four types of annuities. Now, what do you need to know about these? Well, there's a lot. There's no way I can cover all this morning. But I want to cover some things for you to write down. These are things you want to go again and check and read about as you consider these things. And so the first three that I talked about, the variable, the fixed, and the fixed index, typically have something in them called a surrender charge. And that is if you cash it in before the term is up. You heard me earlier talking about a 7-year annuity. If you were to cash that in, say, in the second or third year, there would be something called a surrender penalty, or a percentage that you pay to get out of it. So it's usually not a good idea to buy one of these unless you know you can go the full term, or if it has some sort of free withdrawal out of it as you're going along in case there's some kind of emergency that comes up. The last one I mentioned, the single premium immediate annuity. Now, this is the only one of these four that is irrevocable. And that means that once you buy it and start receiving the income payments, that's it. You can't go back and ask for your money back. You can't cash it in. So typically you want to use that one for a very specific purpose. The next thing you need to know about annuities is how they are taxed, because of course taxes eat up a lot of your return depending on the tax bracket that you're in. So annuities offer a tax-advantaged way for you to save for retirement. You make a deposit and your earnings are completely tax deferred until you withdraw them. So even if you're making over $400,000 a year, you can put as much as you want into a deferred annuity and defer the taxes on the interest that you're earning in those particular years. Realize this too, that annuity withdrawals are taxed on something called LIFO. This is last in, first out, meaning that any accumulated interest that you earn, it comes out first, and that gets taxed before your principal starts to come out. Once your principal starts to come out, more than likely you've already paid taxes on it, so you won't be taxed again, but of course you will be taxed on what you earned, and you control that, by the way. So that comes out as ordinary income. You pay your taxes on it. And one way to spread this tax out is to convert one of those first three annuities I was talking about into the fourth one, the SPIA. And if you live past your life expectancy, like I said, then eventually you're going to get your entire principal back and the payments will become, again, fully taxable. Lastly, any gains you've made in that first annuity can be transferred tax-free to another annuity using what's known as Internal Revenue Code Section 1035. This is known as a 1035 exchange. And by doing this, you can switch annuity companies while continuing to defer taxes, ensuring that your annuity stays up to date with the latest advantages, benefits, income options, interest rates. So you can stay with the same type of annuity, or you can switch from any of the four types I mentioned to meet your needs at that particular time. Coming up next is time for our popular They Say segment, where they say you shouldn't buy an annuity in an IRA. Is that really true? We'll find out. You don't want to miss this one. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Show with David Hollander. That's me. We'll be right back.
When I wake up to a sky so blue.
You can ask the Sandman questions and hear this show, Protect Your Assets, hands-free, anytime, on your Amazon Echo smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Find out more at libertygroupllc.com/voice. Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman, and you're listening to Protect Your Assets. Are you dreaming of the perfect retired life? Are you hoping to retire sooner rather than later? Well, if you are, then you've tuned in the right place today, because today we're talking about the five things you need to know about annuities, which right now are being looked at because interest rates are so low. And if you're trying to add safety into your portfolio, when markets that are all-time highs right now, this is one way to do it. So they're becoming pretty popular. Now, one thing you don't want to miss is at the top of the show, I was talking about my market predictions, and I've identified two cracks in the four pillars that are supporting the economy right now, which you're going to want to pay attention to. And that dovetails nicely with what we're talking about today. So if you missed my market segment, then go ahead and listen to our podcast where we talk about just the market. And you can find that anywhere. If you have a Spotify account, just type in Protect Your Assets and you can listen to my podcast right there. And if you like it, please share it with your friends. I really appreciate that a lot, and hope you enjoy it. So now it's time for one of our fan favorite parts of the show. It's our They Say segment, where we debunk common myths, half-truths, and just sometimes bad advice that they say.
Who are they? What do they know that I don't? And what are they saying this week? There's only one man with all the answers. And here he is, David Hollander, the Sandman.
So here's one they say. They say that you shouldn't buy an annuity in an IRA because the IRA is already tax deferred. Well, is that really true? Well, it really depends on what you're trying to do. Because let's say that you're age 72 and... as you know, if you have an IRA account, a 401k or 403b, anything like that, this year, you're going to have to take out your RMD. What is that? Well, that's your required minimum distribution that the IRS makes you take out of your account, whether you want it or not. And here's a very common theme that we see with a lot of our clients. You just don't need it. You don't want it. I don't want the money. I don't need it. I don't want to take it. I don't want to pay taxes on it. Well, is there a way to delay that and avoid paying the tax? The answer is yes. And if your goal is to defer your required minimum distribution payments past age 72, then you should consider what's known as a qualified longevity annuity contract. That's another type, right? A QLAC, a QLAC, which is a special income annuity that's designed to meet specific IRS requirements so that you don't need to take your RMD on the assets that are in that QLAC. It is one of the only ways you can legally delay taking your RMDs for a portion of your IRA fund and thus keep more tax-deferred money in your IRA account longer. So how does this work? Well, there's some rules, of course, around it, so get ready to write these down. You can invest up to 25% of your total IRA, so that means all your different accounts, you add them up, and the limit, of course, is $135,000. So you could add up all your accounts, and if 25% is $135,000, then you're good. If it's more than that, let's say it's $200,000 or $300,000 or $400,000, well, your cap is $135,000. But hey, that's $135,000 you can take out and you can stick it in a QLAC, and then you can delay taking any sort of an RMD payment from that as late as, get this, age 85. So that technically buys you about another 13 years of delay. Why else might you put in an annuity in an IRA? Well, right now is a good example. You just don't like market volatility, and you think something's going to happen. Something's coming around the corner. You don't know quite what it is, but you just feel like markets are at all-time highs and you want to protect some of what you've worked so hard to earn. So earlier I was talking about one of the annuity options, one of the four. Again, if you missed that section, go back and listen to the four types of annuities. And in a minute, I'm going to give you an offer where you can read more about this. But I was talking earlier about something known as a fixed indexed annuity, and this could offer you more upside potential than that 7-year 3% annuity I was talking about earlier, that fixed annuity. This one has something that is a little different. Well, how so? Well, they pay a fluctuating interest rate that can be pegged to an annual percentage change of an index like the S&P 500. But the interesting thing about these is that the lowest you could earn in any particular year is zero, meaning that if the market or the index that it was linked to dropped below where you started, you wouldn't get punished. You would just receive a zero. So in a lot of these, what ends up happening is you get a portion of the index's upside. Notice how I say a portion, and that's in return for the protection of your principal on the downside. So some people say, well, this just sounds too good to be true, and they can, but I'd encourage you to ask questions to figure out how this works, because like I said, you're getting a portion. So here's what you should know, and here's some things you should look into. In exchange for getting that guarantee of your principal by the insurance company, that you're not going to have a loss if the index were to drop, you're giving up some of the upside. Well, how do they do this? So here's some terms you may want to write down and look into if you're going to look at something like this. First is something known as a cap. You heard me right, a cap rate. A cap is the maximum rate of interest that the insurance company will pay you during the index term. Now, I said a lot of things there that you need to figure out. The index term, the cap rate, the insurance company, these are all things you want to look into. Let me give an example. Let's say the annuity says that for 2021, 6% is the cap for the 1-year point-to-point index on the S&P 500. If the index in 2021 were to go up 8%, then you would get 6%. And the insurance company would keep 2%. Sounds kind of simple, doesn't it? Well, there's also something in some of these which is called a participation rate, or the PAR rate is another way to describe it. And this determines what percentage of the increase in the underlying market index that will be used to credit your account. So let's look at another example. Let's say that you're getting a 60% participation rate of the increase of the S&P 500. And the S&P 500, again, for say 2021, does 8%. Then you would keep roughly 60% of that 8%. That's how that works. So some of these blend these things where you can have a cap and a participation rate. Some, like I just said, have one or the other. But what you need to do is you really need to dig into these and find out how this might fit into your overall situation, your overall plan. Again, remember, this is just a tool. These are just tools that you use to supplement your overall account. I don't really recommend that you think about this as the silver bullet, the one size fits all. It just doesn't really work that way. So you really have to do your homework and dig into these. Now, if any of this information has been helpful to you, just imagine what we can help you accomplish when we give you advice that's tailored to your situation. Because let's face it, your ability to generate income will totally dictate your lifestyle in retirement. And that's not easy, especially today when rates are still at historic lows. The 10-year treasury is barely paying 1.65. I mean, think about that. You give your money to the U.S. government for 10 years and you're barely getting over 1.6%. Well, you don't want to risk your life savings in the stock market or maybe even the bond market because it is elevated. And even the best algorithms don't work. We saw that last year around the same time. Keep it tuned right here because when we come back, find out about the costs associated with annuities and one mistake you don't want to make when choosing a beneficiary. It always pays to keep it tuned right here. We'll be right back.
Now you can hear the show Protect Your Assets hands-free anytime on your smart speaker or Android device. Just say, hey, Google, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Learn more at libertygroupllc.com/voice. Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman, and you're listening to Protect Your Assets. And is that name so important right now? As we started the show, I identified two cracks that have grown into our economy that could become a fracture and could have some problems. So if you missed any of my earlier part of the show where I was talking about my predictions for the market and what I'm seeing developing, then go back and listen to my podcast where we deal with the market segment each week. And you can find that right now at pyaradio.com. Again, pyaradio.com. And if you like what you hear, please share that with a friend. And so with the markets at all-time highs right now, some people out there are saying, hey, it's only a matter of time and you should be looking at your stocks and maybe take some money off the table and get in some safe assets. And so that makes you start to wonder, well, what's really considered a safe asset today? Rates right now are still at historic lows. And so one of the areas that people are starting to take a look at are fixed annuities. And fixed annuities right now, we have one that's a 7-year. It's paying a 3% interest rate. Not bad, but when you consider the 10-year treasury is paying just about 1.65%, you know, you want to get a little bit more. So people are looking at annuities to try and protect their savings, try and get a little bit more income off of their assets while inflation is, of course, creeping up. And so people are starting to look at these. But today we've been talking about some of the things you need to know, and there are a lot of things you need to know before you start to invest in one of these vehicles. And that's because there are so many different types of annuities. And today I've been identifying five things you need to know about annuities and what to look out for. And I've been offering my book as a way to learn more about the subject. So the next area which I'd like you to pay attention to if you're considering something like this would be the fees. Nothing's free, of course, and so insurance companies want to make money in fees. They are in there. They're in the annuities, and you may not even see them. I was talking earlier about a variable annuity, and sure, make sure if you're going to look at one of those that you get a copy of what's known as the prospectus. The prospectus is a document that I encourage you to read carefully because in there you'll see things like administration fees, the fund fees, the fee for the mutual funds, the underlying subaccounts they call them that are in there. There may be rider fees. Make sure you add all these up as you're considering whether or not it makes sense to buy one of these, and know that you're going to be paying those fees each and every year that you own that product. And you have to make that sort of interest before you break even, because those are going to be recurring charges. Now, fixed annuities are usually reasonable, since the yield that they pay, like I was talking about, that 3% yield, that's what they pay you after taking their fee out. So that is your return each year. And that's a fixed annuity. So a lot of people equate those, even though they're different, like a CD, and that CD pays you a rate, you know what the published rate is, and that's it. Fixed annuities are very similar in that the insurance company, again, the claims paying ability of that company is what's paying you, but they're going to publish a rate, and that's what's out there, and that's what you'll get for the term that you hold it. And I was talking about that 7-year annuity earlier. Now, I also spoke earlier about the fixed indexed annuity. And so if you missed that, in the last segment, we were talking more in detail about that product and how that works and how it's linked to an index and how you could potentially get more return out of that. But again, I always caution people not to think about those like the stock market or like equity type returns. They're just not. It's just a different type of a product. So again, if you're looking for safety, if you're thinking about fixed, you know, just lower your sights in terms of yield, because it's just really not there. But there are ways to do better than what you may be seeing right now. And so these are some things you may want to look at as an alternative to what's out there right now. But I want to draw your attention to another area where I see a lot of mistakes being made when you buy an annuity. And I saw one again this week. It's where you have to name your beneficiary on the application as you're filling out the paperwork. And so don't gloss over this. If you name your spouse as your sole beneficiary upon your death, your spouse will usually have the option of filing a claim to take the distribution as a spousal beneficiary. And this could be a non-taxable event. But non-spouse beneficiaries, like your kids, for instance, who will probably be your contingent beneficiaries, they do not usually have this option of assuming ownership, and they must pay income tax on the increase in value of the annuity when they receive it. So it's really important that you make sure you've built your estate planning into the description of the beneficiary designations on these type of accounts. This also goes for life insurance, IRA accounts. These type of accounts go outside of probate, go around your trust, in other words. So even if you have a trust, these sort of beneficiary designations trump all, meaning that whoever's name is on the paper, that's where the money is going to go, despite what you've done in your will or your trust. So it's super important that you regularly check your beneficiaries. And as you open up an account like this, if you do that, make sure you've double checked who the beneficiaries are and how that's going to go. Because no matter how foolproof you think your plan may be, as we all know, things go wrong and that's when the messes start. So think about this. You may find that once you've retired, you are ready to have a great retirement. And you got to ask yourself the question, if you're thinking about it right now, will you go back to work? Well, who knows, right? Maybe as the economy starts to open back up and things get better again, maybe you'll change jobs. I'm hearing a lot of people right now thinking about changing their careers altogether, moving to other states. Is there room to cut expenses? I'd like to give a big thanks to the Protect Your Assets team for putting together another great show today. My executive producer and network manager, Kevin Renfer. We got it done, Kev. And of course, all my fabulous producers, Felicia and Brett. Thank you guys so much, because without my team, I'm just another pretty voice on the radio. You've been listening to the Protect Your Assets show. I am David Hollander, the Sandman. Go out and make the rest of your life the best of your life.
All calls have been screened. Callers should not expect their conversations with David Hollander on the radio or with staff to be held in confidence. And that legal information provided on the air is not intended to be a substitute for callers hiring their own lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Proper advice depends on complete analysis of all the facts and circumstances. The information given on this program is in the nature of general financial comment and cannot be relied upon as pertaining to your specific financial situation. California Life Agent number 0B48569. Listeners should consult their own financial advisor or conduct their own due diligence before making any financial decisions. The preceding program was paid for by Liberty Group, LLC. And the views and the opinions of the host do not represent those of this station or its ownership. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.